RSN Central.
Green light on.
With Dan Malicki.
And welcome to Green Light on this Thursday, the 27th of February, here on RSN Central. By the way, Lachie Neale got three votes, actually, against Richmond, not two, three. So had to fix that up. Hey, Dan, hello to you.
Yeah, hello, mate. It's important to fix that up. Big difference between three and two.
Yeah,
it's gold,
I know,
and silver, mate.
I think we went from one to two votes in that particular segment, and then I've just checked it. It's three votes to confirm it anyway. Hey, Dan, I've got a question for you. Buddy Franklin or Wayne Carey? You're a Hawthorn supporter as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. But still, they're similar in the way they can change games off their own boot, can't you? I don't like being in that position. It's like two of your babies you've got to choose between.
Yes.
Look, probably Carey more fulfilled because of the premierships, I suppose.
Well, they're two each.
So I would...
This is a question without notice, folks.
Probably have to go Carey just.
Okay, just in front of Buddy. Yeah. You're still dirty that he left you.
Oh, no, not really. We had a bit of success after he left.
Now, there's plenty happening in the world of harness racing. We'll be catching up shortly with John Dumsny from Harness Racing New South Wales. There's a couple of issues that we need to talk to John about, and those are the issues regarding the scratchings there from last Saturday night from Newcastle with the three Craig Cross runners. And before that, a couple of runners from Mark Purden's All-Star Stable were scratched. Now, for turning up late, there's a time there that the stewards expect participants to arrive at, and they've been brutal of recent times. If you're 6 minutes late, you're out. And that had big ramifications there on Saturday night, moving on towards a Miracle Mile.
Look, it did. Rules are there for a reason, to make sure you want to leave earlier. But sometimes with traffic, doesn't matter how much earlier that you leave, there's been situations. But the thing is, if there's enough horses caught up in a traffic jam, rather than 8 of the 10 being scratched, they'll put the races back. So it's just the fine line between the isolated case of one stable as opposed to nearly every horse in the field. Look at the Magic Millions this year with it wasn't just Alligator Blood, but he's the story that comes to mind. And I think they did the right thing there, A, putting the races back, but also allowing that time to get there. You're only robbing yourself if you're eliminating the main draw cards from a race. You're sort of shooting yourself in the foot, but at the same time, you have got rules to uphold. So it'd be interesting to get John's view on that. It may just be as simple as what I've just said, but I'm sure they're disappointed to have to make those decisions.
Okay, now for our Tasmanian listeners, it was a massive day there yesterday, and thanks to everybody involved that had us there yesterday. We're live at Launceston for Launceston Cup Day. And now Michael Felgate is ready to go for our Tassie listeners with Racing Pulse Tasmania. And we'll kick on here with the green light on here on RSN Central. So I'll be interested because John's a wonderful administrator. I've got a lot of respect for him to get his thoughts about this situation because obviously it's fired up the All-Star team. Mark Purden released a statement recently saying that they don't know if it doesn't change or there's they basically said in their statement that if there's not common sense implemented in these type of decisions, then they wouldn't have the confidence to bring a team back to New South Wales, say for the upcoming Inter-Dominion series, because there'll be a lot of travelling to country areas. There's a heat night at Bathurst and another heat night at Newcastle.
Well, effectively, if it's the middle night of the Inter Dominion and you get scratched late arrival because there's traffic problems, that means you're out of the series.
Yep.
So it has more implications than just one race, Gareth. So that would have to be looked at. But, I mean, the traffic situations, you'd have to talk to the trainers that deal with that all the time to know if it's an issue. I'm sure that's taken into account. Maybe it's as simple, leave an hour earlier.
This, what I know of the situation, Adam Hamilton pointed it out yesterday after talking to Luke McCarthy, part of the Craig Cross stable, is that there was a problem nearby with the traffic situation and they got notified, say, at 2:35 and they were on the road at 2:50. So it took them over 4 hours to get to Newcastle, usually around a 2.25-hour trip. And I think they arrived into the Newcastle facility about a minute to spare, but by the time they got the horses out and onto the course into the barn area, it was 6 minutes after, and then they were scratched.
Yeah, well, you would have thought there was some sort of communication on the phone.
That's what I mean. I can't work that out.
For that to happen, if you're going to be actually at the track at the right, at the appropriate time, I mean, the difference between being at the track and then getting ticked off for being there. I mean, what's the difference if there's 100 horses in queue waiting to go into the racetrack getting ticked off and you're the last of the 100?
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to get the side of the stewards in Harness Racing New South Wales. So, John Dumasty not far away, and, of course, it's a big night for them on Saturday night.
Big week.
Yeah, it's some terrific race in the Miracle Mile in just over
a few places
a week's
up for grabs,
time
aren't
now.
They, for the Miracle Mile? I mean, yeah. It seems as if two spots have gone by the wayside this morning with the All-Stars and Chase Auckland and Self Assured.
Correct.
So it really opens it up this year, I think, more than any other Miracle Mile I've ever known of. If there's ever a year mare's going to win it, mate, or another mare wins it, could be this year, because I wouldn't be surprised if the fancied trio in the mare's race won 1, 2, 3. I can't say why they can't all get in.
So, John, not far away. This is an SMS coming through from Matt. He loved Dan's call last night, the first at Ballarat with the skewbald horse and his son. Brilliant call. That got a lot of traction, especially on social media.
For that? I don't know. Don't put yourself down. The story that came up on Channel 9, I know you had a lot to do with it. It was only a matter of bringing it to someone's attention. But someone of your ilk, Gareth, you can pull a lot of strings. Call you Geppetto. You're the puppet puller, string puller. But that was fantastic story. A horse that hadn't raced in 7 years and 1 month. It was a 9-year-old, a skewbald.
Yeah.
So it looked like a pinto, an Indian horse, you know, red Indian horse. And his 4-year-old son was making its debut in the same race. I thought it was a really terrific, touching story. And I enjoyed the call. I'm glad other people did too.
Yeah, and Neil Donnelly rang me up the other day and he told me about this story. And I said, well, this is a story that we needed for our show. And we did interview Carlene there, Tyndale, yesterday while we were in Tasmania. But Tony Jones from Channel 9, they love those. They call them the pub stories.
Yep.
So I think he headed down to Harcourt to do the interview.
Yeah.
Obviously took your race there, and I think he's...
But because of the time of the news, the first race, I think, was it... they brought it back 7 minutes yesterday to start earlier. But because of the timing of it, they were able to run it into the news bulletin, which was absolutely fantastic.
And I think the best line was Tony Jones, and he's a wonderful writer.
Mm.
He said that... The younger horse is still following in his old man's footsteps after the old man finished third and paid about $10 the drum.
It was 100-1.
Yeah. It'd be a lot shorter next start, I tell you, because it's quite the following.
Pretty keen in the run too. He was fired up in the run. He was wanting to go a little bit quicker. And his son, well, if he follows his dad's footsteps,
Ernie's son
it was called. He might be peaking in 5 years' time.
Now the skew ball that those type of horses, people go, why would they breed from a horse like that? It only had the 3 starts as a 2-year-old. Well, you can actually sell them for big money over in England and Ireland because they love to have skewbalds take on each other on the road. So you'll have one person say, like, Dan Malecki, he owns one pacer and he's from one village and Gareth owns the other. And I might have $100,000. I say, okay, Dan, have you got $100,000? Yep. Let's set up the race. They set out a course on the roads. They might go through a village and they race for that money. So you can buy, I think there was one of those horses purchased for around $70,000 in Queensland recently.
That's the skewbalds are the brown and whites.
Yeah.
They look like the Hereford cattle.
Yep.
But the name of the Derby, the word Derby came about from a similar instance. There was the Earl of Derby and another Earl, and they had a race to name of a race, and the Earl of Derby won it. Hence, those classic races are now known as Derby.
We're joined by one of the very best administrators in the game of racing. His name is John Dumasny. He is the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales. To have a chat about, of course, their big couple of nights coming up at Menangle, but also to discuss a couple of the situations that we've already touched on at the start of this segment with Dan Malecki. And John joins us now. Good afternoon to you, John.
Great afternoon, isn't it, Gareth and
yep.
Dan?
Yeah, hello, John. Yeah, well, what a big week for you. It's been a magnificent couple of weeks for you. And look, to be fair, the Miracle Mile coming up, wouldn't be Miracle Mile time unless there was a bit of drama involved.
No, certainly not. And it's not orchestrated either. Might I say, it just happens to fall that way. But I've seen 30-odd been in bowl with 30-odd miracle miles, and they come and go, and everyone's better than the previous, and but they do have that controversial aspect to it. I don't know what it is. It's just drawn to it.
John, I want to touch on this situation that happened at Newcastle on Saturday night. Craig Cross's three horses were scratched after turning up late to the track there ahead of the Newcastle Mile. And then the All-Stars, Nelly Rasmussen and Mark Purdon, a couple of weeks before that, they had runners scratched at Menangle. But there was a statement recently put out by the All-Stars, and I'll just read out a snippet of this statement. This is from Mark Purdon. "This would be an unacceptable result for us, our owners and the betting public. Natalie and I are serious about reviewing the situation in light of the Cross event at Newcastle. A lot of planning, time, money and effort goes into getting these horses from New Zealand to New South Wales to compete not just by ourselves, but owners and staff as well." Your response to that statement, and did Harness Racing New South Wales stewards get it wrong on Saturday night?
No, they certainly didn't get it wrong on the Saturday night. We have policies. The policies are well known. Now, there'll be plenty say, well, there was accidents on the road and there's this and that, other things that may impact on those arrival times. But in the case of last Saturday night, the stewards were not made aware that those horses were late until they were late. So that, unfortunately, was one of the driving things behind, well, what do you do? When is late too late? Is it another half hour? Is it another hour? Late is late. So we have a very black and white policy. So all participants understand the discretionary power is taken away. Something that many participants, not all, many participants believe the stewards should not have, because it's a fallacy, but they think maybe someone's getting a better rub of the green than themselves. So it's a black and white policy, and the stewards had no discretion other than to withdraw the horses under the policy.
John, so if this is my understanding anyway, so if there is a text message sent out by Harness Racing New South Wales saying there's problems on the road, we need you to leave earlier, and they leave within 15 minutes of that message being sent, it takes over 4 hours to get there. It's usually around a 2.5 hour trip. And they turn up 6 minutes late. We had a situation in Queensland with Alligator Blood for the Magic Millions, but you're saying if the Cross Camp were communicating with the stewards on the way and giving them regular updates on their travel time and when they expect to be there, that this could have been handled better?
There was a possible outcome there. Must remember, the horses travelled from a similar distance, allegedly left at the same time, however, arrived half an hour earlier. We don't know what the difference is. I must say, Luke McCarthy, representing the trainer, Craig Cross, certainly presented well to the stewards. Was not emotional, didn't get out of hand or anything. Hindsight's a great thing. What if he had contacted them along the way? Would have there been another outcome? Potentially, but that's a very, very long stretch perhaps, but still. We move forward and we look at these policies all the time, and we assess whether they are actually fulfilling the goal that we require. And on this occasion, it was talked about discretion taken away from the stewards.
And I suppose communication here had been the main element of the situation. I suppose a lot of people out there would be thinking, John, if that was Lazarus in the truck and he was 6 minutes late, would the stewards been proactive and got in touch? I mean, you wouldn't want to lose your big draw card, would you?
Yes, but I'll tell you something unusual. At some of these tracks, not every trainer checks in when they arrive. Now, how many stewards do you need to be checking on every horse that comes in? We rely on other people, and these horses just weren't checked in. Now, as soon as they're not checked in, as soon as they're not arrived on time, rather, the stewards are alert at that stage.
Now, John, what about the statement from Mark Purdon? Their runners were scratched a couple of weeks ago as well. I think that was a Menangle meeting, but their concern, say, with the Inter-Dominion being in Bathurst and also Newcastle, that they don't know if that if the rules aren't changed or there's a little bit of leeway given to participants, they might not take their horses to New South Wales for the Inter-Dominion.
Now, let's make it quite clear. We're talking about traffic accidents, other things that are completely out of the control of a trainer, which must be addressed. We look at those things. The board talks to them, and they certainly have been talking about those aspects since last Friday. However, with the incident with the horse of Mark Purden's, was it Mark Purden's? Mark Jones, I think. Was
yes, sorry, Mark
the
Jones,
other day, from the training centre to the track is a short walk. There's no traffic.
Yeah.
Why they, the trainer or the whoever's in charge of that horse, made a mistake.
Yeah.
The horse had to be scratched.
But
That's brought on to us by other participants making representations to the stewards, most of them confidential, that they believe there's some untoward going on. Well, how do you relieve them of that thought? Well, you say there's a time they should be there and they must be there. And if a trainer makes a mistake, well, who's to blame there?
This is Greenlight on RSN Central with Gareth Hall and Dan Malecki. We're joined by the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales, John Dumersney. We had a chat about what happened at Newcastle there on Saturday night with those runners being scratched there before the Newcastle mile. The last question on this, John. So basically your message to participants heading to the carnival over there in New South Wales, turn up on time, but if there's issues with traffic and you're coming from away from outside of the Menangle area, make sure you get onto the phone with the stewards and keep them updated.
Certainly, and I need to, there's a lot of speculation out there, a lot of talk, and there's been some criticism of Harness Racing New South Wales and the stewards, so that although the stewards only work in accordance with established policies, so they're fairly well bound by those policies. The criticism was that something happened at the Gold Coast. We all know about that. We were talking about their several horses at that meeting, so they put the meeting back. This was three horses, yes, on one truck. The only vehicle that wasn't on time or arrive on time, but with no notification. So we have to make things clear. At all times, and including as at today, the board are looking at the policy. So we take criticism, and where we should face up to it, we accept it, but they are looking at the policy as we stand.
Okay, John, well, it's the exciting part of what is coming up over the next couple of weeks. I've always thought the lead-up to the Miracle Mile, with due respect to the actual race, it's fantastic, the drama that's involved back in the day with the invitations, who's going to get in, who's not. You almost always throw in a curly one. Tell us about the setup this year and what I would consider to be one of the most open years yet in a Miracle Mile field.
Yeah, Dan, and like I said, I've seen quite a few of these races, and they come and go with depth and quality. Perhaps this year it's a $1 million race. It's found its position in the former original position. Actually, it first started in about March in 1967. The Inter Dominion came in there. The Inter Dominion's out, so we're back at a really prime time for racing. So that helps. The $1 million certainly helps. The value of the prize money for the support races is mammoth, so of course they're going to be there. Unfortunately, this morning we lost two horses through injury, and two very good horses in Self Assured and Chase Auckland, both from Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen's stable. So already we've got a little bit of attrition coming into place, but by golly, they're good this year. What can you say? There'll be some positions up there for grabs, and there's four automatics. If you can run first or second in those two races, then there's two left for the directors of the club to look at the performances in those two sprints, certainly the performances in the Chariots of Fire, and another race on Saturday night, the Ladyship Mile, which is just so much quality. that race that I don't know where to stop.
I think, look, to be quite truthful, I think the best race on the program is the Ladyship Mile. And I would think, just my opinion, and it depends on how the race plays out, but if there's a year that a mare can win the Miracle Mile, it's this one. And I would think perhaps first and second in the Ladyship, if they're the sort of horses we think they might be, they should be getting their opportunity to get in there. It might be the girls' year.
It may well be, and once, you've got to look at different eras. Once upon a time, there was a real drive, and this is quite a few years ago, that mares had to be given their chance, and nearly every year, the winner of the Ladyship Mile got a run. And we must remember that the first winner of the Miracle Mile was a mare in Robin Dundee, and they're few and far between mare winners, so there was an impetus on giving mares that opportunity. But you are right, Dan, that race is as strong as the two sprints.
I think it's the best night of harness racing I've seen for quite some time on paper anyway, on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Menangle. It doesn't get any better. If you love racing, if you love sport, I highly recommend you watch Menangle.
Four Group 1s
on Saturday
plus
night.
Heats of the Derby. It is an absolute
It's the best. It's
cracker.
Derby day of harness racing for mine. It is a terrific night of harness racing. And then the Miracle Mile, it should be a beauty. But, John, I want one wish, please. And I don't, you don't listen to me and you won't take it in consideration. But I want the Invitational back, the Invitational Miracle Mile.
You know, I don't know whether you've got a bug in this office somewhere. You have.
He has.
Someone said this morning, what are you going to do? I said, back to six, pure invitation.
Yes.
And make it real.
Yeah,
I like that. That's the way that the Miracle Mile watching as when I was growing up as a kid, what happened in Perth, New Zealand, the directors might get it right, they might get it wrong, but people were talking about the Miracle Mile a long way out, and it created great debate, and it's the best marketing that you can have, and you don't have to pay for it, John.
That's right, great theatre. Like as I keep on saying, I've seen a few. It's the time when Australasia's greatest sporting administrator, definitely racing administrator, Peter Vlandys, was on the phone. He was giving cheek to the likes of Sean Harmy in Western Australia and telling him, if you want to run, change the driver. He was the driver. And other times when we included Manaville in the race, and we know that they were barricading the back door of the office to get us as we were coming out. So, yes, the invitation process certainly creates great drama and certainly plenty of controversy. A deal of risk involved there when you have to walk out that back door in the dark, but still,
yeah.
It's something. It's magic. It's a special race. We have so many special races on the harness racing program. Can't dismiss the Inter-Dominion or the Hunter Cup or the New Zealand Cup. They're all there, but the Miracle Mile, it just has something so special, and we thank Len Smith all those years ago for creating it, and for everybody since, rightfully or wrongfully, getting the fields correct, continuing this race. It's now in its 52nd year of running.
All right, the last one before I let you go. Will it be an invitational race next year, John, and will it be in the same spot?
I'd keep on. Yes, it'll be certainly the same time of the year, but yep. I'm just searching the office now for that bug of yours.
Okay,
that's
yep.
About all I can say.
Thanks for listening to Green Light On, as always, John. We appreciate your time. You keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for explaining that situation there from Newcastle on Saturday night, and the best of luck over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, Gareth. Thank you, Dan.
There's John Dummersney, the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales. I think we might have just got an exclusive there.
And look, I got my vote. I loved it back in those days. Sometimes the race itself could let you down. So the 2 weeks or 3 weeks leading up to it, and you mentioned Peter Vlandys and what he's done with the Everest there. There's a lot of the Miracle Mile involved of what he's done with that, with the Everest. So I think it is time to bring that back. I mentioned before the Earl of Derby. The other person was Sir Charles Bunbury. Okay. So the races we know as the Derby would have been known as the Bunbury if the Earl of Derby hadn't won that match race.
This is why this half an hour is a must listen for all harness racing fans here on RSN Central. Hey, Mikey, I know. He's been trying to tell me we need to take a break to pay for the sponsors. To pay for the show, thanks to the sponsors.
And also remember some great horses winning great races. And one of the best mares, I think, to win the Ladyship Mile, I'm sure you'll agree, is Adore Me.
It's Adore Me going out after Fritha, headed off. Beauty Secret, Render third, right down the outside. Later On's putting in a big burst for Tim Tietrich, but Adore Me has shot away. She's put up three, she's put up four, she's annihilating them. She's the very best in Australasia, might be one of the best in the world. Look at her go. And Adore Me has obliterated a top-class lineup of mares to beat Beauty Secret by six. Third home was Later On, a cracking race.
This is Green Light On for Point and Partners Lawyers, your legal partner. pointandpartners.com.au. This is Green Light On for Point and Partners Lawyers, your legal partner. pointandpartners.com.au.
Sundon's Gift hit the lead from I Didn't Do It. Then came La Mosca. Sundon's Gift going for four. He got away. La Mosca's running on. Sundon's Gift in front. La Mosca's getting close. Sundon's Gift in front of La Mosca. And the big quartet for Sundon's Gift. Four Australian Trotting Grand Prix in a row.
He was a champion.
What an amazing horse. Yeah. Four in a row. And, of course, the Trotting Grand Prix is a feature race at Melton on Saturday night. It's a big night, big charity night, the ovarian cancer night. Duncan McPherson put so much hard work into it. It's really become a huge event in harness racing. And the Group 1 for the open class trotters is the feature. La Cucaracha won the first one. Yep. And Sundon's Gift won four of them.
Rob Orber joins Green Light On with his truck selections, presented by the Victorian Harness Racing Club. The new era has begun.
What a wonderful strike rate Rob Orber has on this show, tipping winners. And I remember he tipped Red Hot Tooth to win the Great Southern Star, and she went so close. Guess what? She's drawn barrier number one in a big Group 1 in that Trotting Grand Prix on Saturday night. And Robbie joins us. Hello, Rob.
Oh, I'm very well, Gareth. How are you, boys?
Good, thank you. You're tipping Red Hot Tooth again?
I'm always very loyal to my stable, so I'll be barracking for it. I think it's a very hard race, but look, I know Kari and Paul have got a spot on again, and she'll run a little hard out. She's a very honest bet.
Okay, what about this weekend? Have you got a winner for a Saturday night?
Yeah, I have. I think race 10, number 10, Montpellier, looks my best for the night. Terrific winning at Ararat last week on Ararat Cup night. Came around the field and sat in the breeze. They went a track record, and the second horse showing the muscles is very brave in defeat. But I think Montpellier, if he can bring the same form that he showed last Friday night at Ararat, I think he looks the horse to beat for mine. So I'm going to make him the Victorian Harness Racing Club special for the weekend, race 10, number 10, Montpellier. And if we're having a little investment throughout the night, I certainly was taken by the trial performance of Magistrozo on Tuesday at Melton, trialled against the Pacers. I thought he was very good. And if he gets the right run, I think he'll be very hard to beat as well on the night.
Rob, your best bet won last week. I know, because I followed you up for a change and won at Ararat at good odds as well.
Yeah, Ash Park got the job done. I think it was about 7s into about 380. Must have been all your money, Dan. But no, went very well. So hopefully we can get our listeners on to a couple of winners at least on Saturday night. We'll be doing our best.
And the Victoria Harness Racing Club?
Yeah, very good. We've got obviously supporters of Duncan McPherson's big night on Saturday night. We've also chipped in a little bit of sponsorship money there for his great cause for the Women's Cancer Foundation. We certainly get everyone to get behind the great work that Duncan and the Till team do for harness racing. And bought on Sunday also, the Victorian Harness Racing Club have got a little special there for all the members that are attending the day. They can certainly go and get a complimentary drink and enjoy the afternoon on behalf of the club, and it looks to be a really great day there on Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to Bort. Had a chat to the club there recently, so we'll pump up that meeting on the weekend as well. But well done. They've worked hard to get some nice fields there, so looking forward to that. Hey, enjoy your work, Robbie.
Thanks, Gareth. We're in for a pretty busy few days coming up, but some great races. I'm really looking forward to it, and obviously that big program as well at Menangle on Saturday night that you spoke about earlier on tonight. Looks to be a great program.
Thanks, Rob. There's Rob Orber there joining us as he does every Thursday here on Green Light on RSN Central. Before I let you leave, cracking the codes, a ripper show. Sha Tin, who was formerly trained by Dean Braun, smashed another record there recently. What a story she is.
That is quite remarkable. The first non-US bred horse to be Horse of the Year, first mare to be Horse of the Year, is world record fastest mare in the world, 146.4, New Zealand bred, Australian trained before she went overseas. Dean Braun, a special guest on Cracking the Codes. And so is Rick Hall Lacey, who has just had some of the best racehorses of all time, particularly Redoute's Choice, but the list is a long one, and it'll be great to catch up with Rick as well.
Some breaking stories here. So the Miracle Mile will be an invitational next year, and you're telling me off the record, but I'm putting it on the record, that Standing Starts will be back for the paces?
I reckon they will be. Personally, no, I haven't. No one's told me definitively that's the case, but I think it should be. It definitely be looked at, and I'd say in the next 6 months, perhaps start of the new season, that Stand Start races for paces. It seems a bit of an oxymoron or almost hypocritical that we can have Stand Start races for trotters where there's four or five different strands, as opposed to a paces race where there's only one or two usually. So, yes, I think they'll be back. I think they'll creep their way back in.
Good on you, Dan.